Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. I share with you again these words, beginning with verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 7, And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, do as I say, not as you see me do. This is what parents may often say to their children, because we know we don't always do what we know we should. Children of parents in the Bible, Abraham, Jacob, David, Solomon, etc., would have well followed this advice, because those parents often did not do what they knew was right. But here we have an example of a parent doing what God says. Verse 1 says, it is a test. And this is what I think connects this reading to the other readings for this first Sunday of Lent, when we see Jesus being tested, tempted in the wilderness. The Bible word for temptation and test is the same word. It's the context that makes the difference. James says, God does not tempt us to do what is wrong, but he does test us with the intention that we pass the test and do what is right. In school, students are often reminded tests are to be learning experiences. Who learns from this test? Well, I think God already knows what's going to happen, but Abraham can learn from it. And who else can learn? I think Isaac learns from this, to himself trust God completely, to be a loving father even when it doesn't look that to us that God is a loving father to us. And I think we who read this learn. We learn from God's word. Always to do what he says and always to trust him to do as he says, rather than trusting in what we see in appearances. As we look at this text, we see that Abraham does what God says. We see that God sees to what is needed, and that God himself shows what he says. Let's look first at how Abraham does what God says. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now this is not the first time that God has told Abraham to give up the security of his family and to go to an unknown place. Years before this, God had told Abraham to give up, not his son, but in that case his father, and leaving all behind to go to a place that he was going to show him. And Abraham trusted God, and he went, and he ended up in the promised land. But this time, God does not say he's going to show him the place, but that he's going to tell him the place. Now, I think that's significant because he is asked to go by God's word, not by going by anything that he can see. And this time, in the original language, it's actually in the form of a question. It's like, do this, huh? Other times, God has used this same form of expression. It has been a reminder of his promises. He used the same type of expression when he said, Look at the land I'm giving you. And when he said, Look at the stars of the sky, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham answers this question by rising early in the morning and doing it. Rising early in the morning is a Hebrew expression meaning he's not showing any hesitation. It was not always this way. Abraham had, in fact, often failed the test before. God had repeatedly promised him a homeland, a big family that would become a great nation, and being a blessing to others. But when that land that God brought him to was threatened by drought, Abraham not once but twice abandoned that land to go somewhere else. And when in those places he had gone, he felt threatened, he twice lied about being married to his wife, and so risked losing the source of this family that God had promised. And when it looked like his wife was not going to have that promised son, he compromised by having a son with her maidservant instead. And so by not believing God, risked losing for himself all that God had most surely promised. And it ends in disaster for himself and for others. He is not being a blessing to other people. But each time, God reminds him again of his promise that God intends to keep. Finally, when it seems it is too late for it to ever come true, when, as Paul puts it, Abraham himself was good as dead, God gives him the son that he has promised him. And finally now, even when God asks him again to give up the security of the son he's waited for so long, the son that is his hope for the future, Abraham puts his trust in God's word, not in anything that he can see, from which we, like Isaac, can learn a lesson. How to learn not just from our own experience, not just from things that we can see, but learn from God's word, where we are told to walk by faith and not by sight. Because even when we don't see how any of this makes sense, God sees to what is needed. Verse 5, then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. God here keeps referring to Isaac as Abraham's only son. Once he had another son, you probably know, that was Ishmael. But he gave him up too at the insistence of Sarah, and sent him away, which was sort of a repeat of what happened even before Ishmael was born. Hagar, when she was pregnant with Ishmael, was treated so mean by Sarah, who was jealous, that she ran away into the desert until God's angel came to her and told her to go home again. And so she realized that God was watching over her. And so she calls God the God who sees. Now, we might consider, so why is this story in the Bible? Do you ever wonder that? What's the point? Here's what I think. I think this story, this event, is what teaches Abraham ahead of time that God sees and takes care of things. I think it shows that Abraham's first son, who was almost lost even before he was born, he could get back again because God sees. And so in verse 5, Abraham tells his servants that he and Isaac are going to go and worship, and they will come back to him. Well, how can he say such a thing? He knows what he's going to do. Unless he believes in the resurrection of the dead. The Hebrew word, which is translated here, God will provide. The Hebrew word for provide is literally see. I would translate it, God will see to it. God sees. That's exactly the same words that Hagar used back in chapter 16. Why does Abraham put such confident trust in God? Because he has learned, no matter how things appear to us, The God who sees, sees a way to keep his promises, including giving back a son who is gone. Still, we might wonder, so how is Isaac, who's a strong teenage boy by this time, bound and sacrificed by Abraham, who's over 100 years old? Apparently, he too submits to God's word, having learned to do so from his father. With him, we also learn to trust in God and his word. When it looks to us sometimes that as if I obey God, I will not have the things I desperately want. Or when it looks like what we rely on for the future is being taken away from us. Or when it looks like there is no hope for our children. Or when it looks like we ourselves are facing death or facing the death of our loved ones. Or when we can't see any way out of what is happening to us and we can't see any good resulting from it. We need to trust in the word of God who sees, who provides for us even through death because of the death and resurrection of his own son. Like Abraham, we also learn and trust in the God who sees to see the future and so to provide for the resurrection of the dead because he himself provides the lamb who is a substitute sacrifice for us. What we see is that God himself shows what he says. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, as you might guess, right here in verse 14, that word for provide, again, is literally see. So that Abraham says, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen. And it is. When Abraham trusts God's word, then finally he lifts up his eyes and he sees the land that was there all along, whether he had believed it or not. When we trust God's word, that he sees what we don't see, we too end up seeing what God reveals, which is exactly what God has promised. So, Abraham ends up seeing ahead of time a picture of what God himself does provide on this very mountain, where later there was a city captured by King David, a place where his son Solomon built a temple on this very spot, where sacrifices were offered to the God by men, were ended. When, just outside of this city, God's own son, his only son, whom he loved, was sacrificed, just as today's gospel reading says, sacrificed on a cross as a willing lamb to take the place for us. So that even when we fail the test and fall into temptation over and over again, the God who looks ahead and sees also looks back and sees what Jesus has done for us in our place, and he forgives us, and he saves our lives, and he gives them back to us. And as for Abraham, when we believe God's word, he credits us with Jesus' righteousness, which we receive by believing his promises. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. He said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. This second time that God speaks to Abraham is not the first time that he has given him this very promise. And so he is not giving this promise, as it might sound if you read only these words. He's not giving the promise because of Abraham's willing obedience. In fact, he has repeated the same promise each time Abraham failed the test to obey. God always does what he says he will do, no matter what. But it is true that, like Abraham, we only receive the blessing from it and the benefit of what God does through faith. Through Abraham's one descendant, Jesus, that he's talking about here, all the nations of the earth are blessed. Through faith in him, we become those children of Abraham who will shine like the stars in the heavens. Because God did not withhold from us his only Son, who by his death and his resurrection, which are symbolized here, took possession of the gates of his enemy. Notice in our text how that's singular. He took possession of the gates of his enemy, that is the devil. So that through faith in him, we can pass through those gates of death to the resurrection. As James says in today's epistle, every good gift is from God, who of his own will brought us forth by the word of his truth. God's word, his truth, is what brings forth faith in us, so that we do trust in his word to do for us all God tells us to do, so that we trust in him to do what he tells us to do. And so Abraham does what God says, because he has finally learned to trust God to do what he says, no matter what it appears. And God does see to what is needed, because he sees everything, including the future and all of our needs and how to take care of us. And God himself shows what he says. God himself did what he'd asked Abraham to do. Jesus does for us what we fail to do perfectly. And so it is seen that God himself provides for us all that we need, which is received through faith, including forgiveness for all of our failures and life forever in the resurrection. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. You may rise for the prayers. Thank you.